Chapter 46. You fight and you fall and you get up and you fight some more. But there will always come a day when you cannot fight another minute more. On 25th of February 1936, Inez Valla died. She was 29. After 8 years of agony, she finally succumbed to a hemorrhage from sarcoma of the neck, bleeding out as medics desperately tried to staunch the flow of blood. Mr. Valla, dial painter Francis O'Connell recalled, would not talk at all about his wife because she had died a very horrible death and he did not want to think about it or talk about it. The Ottawa doctors completed her death certificate. Was death in any way related to occupation of deceased? No. Inez's death, coming on top of the lawsuit defeat, left the Ottawa women reeling. Many of the original clique were too ill to attend her funeral as much as they wanted to say goodbye. Catherine Donahue, these days, was rapidly becoming too weak to move about her home very much and seldom even left the house. There was some coverage of Inez's death in the Chicago papers. The press called the girls, rather dismally, the Suicide Club. A senator commented that he would try to interest the Industrial Commission in their case, but added, "Unfortunately, any proposed legislation cannot be made retroactive. It is pitiful indeed." The girls couldn't even get excited when the governor signed the new Illinois Occupational Diseases Act, which now included a provision for industrial poisoning. The new bill was the direct result of the women's case and would protect thousands of workers, but it would not become law until October 1936. Given how quickly the women were dying, they hadn't much hope they would be alive to see the day. The same month the new law was signed, the girls had an approach from a journalist that lifted their spirits somewhat. Mary Doty, a leading reporter with the Chicago Daily Times, now gave them a voice. She turned the public spotlight back on their suffering in articles that ran for 3 days in March 1936. "We'll always be grateful to the Times," Pearl Payne would later say, "for helping us when everything was so black." The Times was Chicago's picture newspaper, a populist publication. Doty knew just how to write for her readership. "They shoot to kill when it comes to cattle thieves in Illinois, and fish and fowl are safeguarded by stringent game laws. But women folk come cheap." She decried the fact that dial painters had been dying off for 13 years in Ottawa without any official comment or investigation, and she painted a picture of the women's conditions that would haunt her readers. "Some girls creep along, unable to move beyond a snail's pace, another with an empty coat sleeve or a mutilated nose, withered hands, a shrunken jaw." The girls posed for photographs, many with their children. Mary Jane Donahue looked absolutely tiny. Doty called her a wizened little baby. At a year old, Mary Jane weighed only 10 pounds and had match-thin arms and legs. "Her parents," wrote Doty, "hope against hope, her mother's illness will not leave its permanent mark on her." Catherine herself said to the press, "I am in constant pain. I cannot walk a block, but somehow I must carry on." When the journalist asked about her friend Inez, it brought tears. Marie Rossiter spoke of her son, Bill. "I'm frightened to death, but I want to live as long as I can for the sake of my little boy," she told the press. Though Marie now had 5 bad teeth, "the Chicago dentists say they won't touch them because of the radium poisoning eating into the bones of my jaw."